It's okay. It's okay. We'll figure it out.
Oh, wait. I can escape.
It's all right. Let it go because the names of the presenters is wrong on that slide. This is the right one.
This is the right one? Okay. Any questions? I've got a minute. No? We're probably going to take questions at the end as well. Thank you.
Okay, Mary.
Oh, he has a question. And listen, he has a real interest in this because that's what this is all about. I'm going to talk to you about the Safe Infant Sleep Initiatives at the national level and evidence for those initiatives based on child death reviews. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I want to acknowledge our collaborators both at the National Resource Center for Child Death Review and the University of Missouri at Columbus. Funding for this analysis is a secondary data analysis grant from the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, in which you analyze data that you do not own and did not create. And certainly child death review teams own this data. So I want to acknowledge the states who have agreed to allow us to use the data that are in the multi-state system from the National Center for Child Death Review. California has a network of partners of child death review teams. We don't have all of the cases that are reviewed in California, but we do have a very large number. Also Delaware, Hawaii, Michigan, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Texas. No individual state data are shown, nor do we have access to individual state-level data because the states do own their own information. Therefore, only de-identified data are used for this analysis. We selected these states on the basis of the fact that they had a minimum of missing information, less than 5% missing for our key variables. Very important on that. And the survey results from the coordinators in those states were that they reviewed a majority of all the infant deaths referred to the state medical examiners or coroners, while the remaining states, with the remaining states reviewing at least 90% of SIDS, suffocation, and unknown case causes, as Lena has defined the definition of SUID. So we are looking at a total of 3,148 deaths occurring in sleep-related environments. So this is deaths occurring in a sleep-related environment. That would include ASSB, which is your ICD classification. It's an injury cause, SIDS and deaths of unknown or undetermined cause. And it may include those interactions that Lena talked about, an infant that had an acute illness beforehand, an infant that may have a medical history that made them more vulnerable to a risk factor in the sleeping environment, or may have been a factor otherwise. So there may be a number, this is a triple risk model, essentially, of how an infant may be found in this category. So, that's right at the end. I'm sorry, I hit the end. Let's see if I can get back to the beginning. I hit the wrong key as we were going back. I don't know how to get back to the beginning. So you get to see the results here. If I go home, I'm sorry about that. So you get to see what's coming. Now we've got data. And that's what's really important. We have data. Okay. Here is the form that the National Center for Child Death Review used during the early years, starting in 2005. So there were some states who were already using the test version of the form, and then a few questions were added in the version that began in January of 2008. But we really are using primarily those cases that we had in the test version because that's the most complete data. So the question is, did the death occur while the child was sleeping or in a sleeping environment? And I will expand on what we know from each one of the questions that the teams completed. Want to really emphasize again, as Lena said, that unknown cases, the child death review teams are supposed to use unknown when they tried to find the information, but there was no clear or satisfactory answer. Also, unspecified simply means the team left it blank. No attempt was made to find the answer, so I'm combining both of those for this analysis because I think things changed over time and they should be combined. So, very first item is the place of death. where was the infant when it was found, and almost 80% were found in their own home. Other than that, you have 77% that were found in a relative's home, about 2% in a friend's home, about 1.5% in an unlicensed daycare home, about a little over 1% in a licensed daycare home, and a licensed foster care home was about 1%. The other specified, all of those were less than 0.5%. So these are the ones that were primary, and then about only 2% were unknown. Where was the infant found? These are all the possible surfaces, plus a few others that an infant might be found in. So almost half were found on an adult bed. 17% in a crib, and here we go with the pointer. 13% on a couch or chair, 7% in a bassinet, 3% in a playpen or play structure, 2% car seat, stroller, or floor. Of the other specified places, it wasn't clear from the child death review team's comments exactly what the surface was, but quite often it was on the parent's body somewhere, including in their arms, in their lap, in slings, such as a baby born, futons and sofa beds. We didn't know whether futons or sofa beds were upright in their position or if they were being used as a regular bed, air mattresses and curtains and cushions on the floor. So those were mentioned as other specified places, but you couldn't really tell what the position was of where the infant was sleeping. So let's take a look at age by death. We usually think of this very young infant in the early developmental period, less than 4 months of age. And so where were these infants who were the least able to roll over to change their position to get out of danger? About half of the infants under 4 months of age were sleeping on an adult bed, 14% on a crib, 13% on a couch or chair, and then the remaining. So at 4 or 5 months, it drops off with more of them in the crib. And at more than 6 months, it's still pretty high that they're in an adult bed, 23% in the crib, 12% crib, or 12% on a couch or chair. So couch and chair and adult beds really are where infants don't belong. So I say this is always personal with me. In 2002, this is my two-day-old grandson sleeping face down. I didn't know about back to sleep campaign, and we're on a couch. I didn't know he could roll off and get caught in the crevice of the couch. 2 days old, the year is 2002. 64% of the infants were sleeping on the same surface with others. So he was with me, or they were with my daughter. So 64% sleeping on the same surface with other people. My daughter said, "Mother, I am going to be a breastfeeding." This is what maternal and child health says. For all purposes, breastfeeding is best and it's most convenient and it works best if that baby's right there with you in bed. So we went to the catalogs, and the catalogs, we could only find two options that put that baby right next to her, a co-sleeper, or in bed, what's called a Moses basket. Neither one of yet has really been validated as being safe, and Moses baskets are very soft and collapsible. You have the same soft object that Lena was talking about in terms of, are they safe? We didn't know where to go to find something that allowed my daughter to sleep safely while breastfeeding her infant. Death scene investigations. As I get into the information about what's unknown, in most of the instances where we have unknown, we know that there was not a good death scene investigation at the time of the death. So unknown information is more likely for sleep positions when put to sleep, because that's not part of a death scene investigation, or when found, than for other sleep-related circumstances. Now let's take a look at the sleeping with others by age of death. I mentioned that 64% were sleeping on the same surface. At less than 4 months, 76% of those said they were sleeping with others at less than 4 months. And for those who said no, and it's only a small n of 71, 54% were still sleeping with others at 4 or 5 months. And or 39% at 4 or 5 months, and 54% at less than 4 months. And for those where we didn't know, this 62% is halfway in between here. It's probably a mix. But we still have these most vulnerable infants most likely to be sleeping with others on the same surface. So of those who are sleeping with others, how many of them were sleeping with an adult on an adult bed? 73% were sleeping with an adult on an adult bed. 17% were sleeping with an adult on a couch or chair. And 10% were sleeping with an adult on some other surface. 34% of the persons sharing a sleep surface were an adult.
75%.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so one of the real issues around the Safe Sleep Campaign is trying to track racial and ethnic differences because there are higher rates of SIDS in the African American community than there are, and this is in the white community, and this has been shown in the data since back about 1992 at least. So the National Institute on Child Health has a survey in which they call the homes of newborns and ask about the sleep practices from the nighttime caretaker. And they've been measuring this since 1992 with a plateau of placing the infant on their back to sleep since about 2002. There, in their data, they show a higher prevalence of a prone position, meaning face down, in the African-American population compared to the Hispanic or white non-Hispanic population. And there are no changes in those trends within each race and ethnicity. So in our data, when we take a look first at infants who were found dead on their back, 33% were among the Hispanic population, 24% I'm sorry, in the non-Hispanic white, or 24, 22. So essentially you see higher in the Hispanic population, infants found on their back. Then going the reverse direction when you look at infants found face down at the time of death, and almost 40% of the infants among the African non-Hispanic African-American population were found on their stomach. And then this, my pointer here again, this decreases as you look at the non-Hispanic white and the Hispanics. There's not much difference on side sleeping, but they still found 10 or 11% side sleeping. But again, think about this data. You may find the issues of infants being caught in blankets, infants being caught in cribs. So we can't rule out that part of the side sleeping may be a position in which they were entrapped. And if you look at unknown, which reflects death scene investigation, the non-Hispanic whites are the most likely to have an unknown sleep position, reflecting probably lack of a death scene investigation, a higher death scene investigation. So some of these differences among the race ethnicity groups may be a function of the probability of receiving a death scene investigation. Let's talk about the sleep surface in terms of within race ethnicity. Again, over half of either the Hispanics or the non-Hispanic blacks were, the infants were sleeping on an adult bed, about 40% of those in the non-Hispanic whites. Not much difference really for those in a crib. Very few, 6 or 7% in a bassinet. 7% of the Hispanic infants were on a couch or chair compared to 14% of either non-Hispanic, white, or black. So what are the implications for injury prevention programs? Almost 4 out of 5 died in their own home. 9% died in a relative or friend's home. 4% died in unlicensed or licensed daycare homes or licensed foster care homes. We don't know the denominators of the infants in these places who aren't dying, but this says we have to look at, we have to target our messages to homes, and we really should start targeting our messages to child care providers. So home care and caretakers should be targeted. Now let's take a look at the sleeping arrangements. More than 3 out of 4 died while sharing a sleeping surface, adult beds, couches, or chairs. Bassinets appear to be safer than beds or cribs for infants less than 4 months of age. But our question is, how many crib deaths involved strangulations, suffocations from unsafe sleep equipment or soft bedding, especially for infants older than 3 months of age who should be able to begin to extract themselves from an unsafe situation if they are healthy? So I'm going to briefly describe the national injury initiatives for prevention from the groups who are the major groups who would work on safe sleep initiatives. First, the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Just in the last month, they have announced a new national education campaign on crib safety for new and expectant parents and caregivers. The goal is to help parents avoid suffocation, strangulation, and entrapment risks in the sleep environment with a focus on, focus on education while in the hospital and again in the pediatrician's office using a video if necessary. And they're collaborating with the American Academy of Pediatrics, an organization called Keeping Babies Safe, where this organization was started by parents whose infant was trapped in a crib, as I understand. And I think Terry can confirm that, and also with the New York Presbyterian Hospital. It includes the development of new crib standards and warnings on dropside cribs, positioners, and infant slings. And if you are following any announcements out of Consumer Product Safety Commission, there have been well over 1 million recalls for cribs in the last year and a half. And that's just in the last year and a half, because we really weren't paying that much attention, I think, in the previous years. So national crib distribution initiatives. The Cribs for Kids National Infant Safe Sleep Initiative is a safe sleep and education program for low-income families, and it's affiliated with the SIDS of Pennsylvania organization. They have, at this point, distributed over 100,000 cribs in 47 states through a network of about 260 licensed partner programs, and they provide a Graco pack-and-play crib, a very small but portable crib that can go to grandma's house and can be put in a sling over their shoulder and taken with them wherever they're going. And it also includes educational safe sleep materials. There's another crib distribution program called Bedtime for Babies, a national infant safe sleep campaign. And this crib distribution project is doing evaluations in 4 states where they are focusing their work. It's performed by First Candle and sponsored through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Their website includes sleep safety educational materials. Home Safety Council, a national nonprofit organization solely dedicated to preventing home-related injuries. They're currently partnering with Babies R Us to help parents on newborn safety issues related to products, including a website to search on product safety and recalls. And this includes both baby and nursery safety issues, and it addresses products in the sleep environment such as bumper pads, window blind cords, crib hardware and mattresses, mesh cribs and playpen, assessing mesh cribs and playpens because we're finding cases of infants caught in the mesh of either playpens or cribs, and then the crib safety tests. Children's Safety Network, they work with the state, territorial, and community maternal and child health, Title V programs, and the injury and violence programs. So they assist in the integration, what we're talking about here today, the integration of injury and MCH programs. They provide technical assistance on injury prevention planning programs and best practices. They can help interpret the data, and they disseminate the latest injury prevention research. So they are a good source to look to for research in this area. And one good example to look for is a publication they put out in 2008 called Weaving a Safety Net, Integrating Injury and Violence Prevention in Maternal and Child Health Programs. And they do have an example in there of how a state has accomplished that integration. And Lindsay's going to talk about Colorado here before we're done. So the CDC injury prevention priorities, right now the focus really is in the reproductive health division where Lena Camperlingo works. And in the CDC Injury Center research agenda, they've said tier two priority, not their first priorities, but are to determine the immediate causes of injuries among young children and to develop and evaluate causes of injury deaths for young children. The most common causes of injury deaths for young children are suffocations, fire, burns, and drowning, and these are kids under age four. But when you look at under age four on the unintentional injury matrix, suffocations are the leading cause, and they're the leading cause because they are the cause for infants. And so that's really, and you can find that information in a report that has come out on child death. Now, I am told that the Injury Center is planning a child injury assessment. They're working on this issue right now, and there is an opportunity with them and their partners to begin to focus on this project. I just immediately lost the name of what someone told me last night is in the works. So this is one of the areas where the injury community, I think, has an opportunity to work on the infant injury issues. And finally, the American Academy of Pediatrics. Everything I've talked about before refers to the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines for safe sleep, back to sleep, and other issues that we were talking about using all sorts of different issues. They have a new policy directive which should have been released this month, should be out immediately. But the one thing that I put in here for them is that there is, and they sponsor an early education and child care initiative, which is called a Child Care Provider's Guide to Safe Sleep. And it includes instructions on the safe sleep environment in a child care community. And they're collaborating with Healthy Child Care America for out-of-home child care programs and safe sleep guidelines. So the recommendations are that a high proportion of equipment in the home environment require targeting for safe equipment and education to all caretakers, relatives and friends, and child care providers in home settings. We need more education and assistance to limit the risks and provide support for breastfeeding or tired parents sleeping on the same surface, beds, couches, and chairs, and really look at the issue of having a bassinet right next to the bed. Rather than cribs for infants less than 4 months of age, because that may actually be the safest and easiest for young parents. And thank you very much.
Do we have time for questions? Angela.
I'm curious as to why the 4 to 5 month age group is separated out.
It's really the developmental status of the infant in terms of their ability to push themselves up, to turn themselves over, and so through the first 3 months, assuming it's a full-term, healthy infant, not premature and have other developmental issues, those are the infants who are least able to move themselves around. For the 5 months, they're beginning to move themselves around. 6 months, pulling themselves up, beginning to get involved with other equipment. Other questions?
Isn't there still a denominator issue? How can we know that enough is safer?
There's definitely, I did mention that, there is a denominator issue. The question is,
it's coming to next.
Yeah. If you want the infant right next to you,
but
what
you,
are your
yours,
options?
Oh, you're
and
you're
a
coming
small
to?
Infant, okay. Actually, I think Terry may be able to talk about that if they have been looking at this. The option to be able to put this young infant, because you don't have the older infants in the bassinet.